Well, let's spend some time reflecting now on the passage we read in Matthew chapter 1. And let's hear what the Lord would bring to us this morning from this passage. And especially let's read from verse 21, the angel coming to Joseph in the dream after he'd considered divorcing Mary because she's expecting a child which is not his child. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, I was reading this the other day and was greatly struck by something, as you often are in familiar stories, something you haven't really paid any attention to before, and it was just the way the angel addressed Joseph. "Joseph, son of David." So we're going to think about why the angel chooses to pick out that particular detail of Joseph's life and to highlight it in that way, and why it's so important. But you can imagine Joseph before this dream, perhaps earlier that night, being together with his friends and they are commiserating with him. Poor Joseph. Joseph is speaking over his miseries. He's supposed to be the heir of the line of David, he says to his friends. "And look at me. I'm just a peasant. A peasant carpenter. I don't even live in my ancestral village, Bethlehem. Here I am away up in Galilee, in a back of beyond little dump of a place called Nazareth. I'm a nobody. And just when I thought my luck had turned and I'd found my childhood sweetheart, she goes away on this big journey for 3 months and returns expecting a child. It's not my child. And I'm devastated. I'm going to have to divorce her. And where do I go from here? I can't really get much lower. David's line really can't get into much poorer a state." And then he has a dream. And the angel counters all of Joseph's gloom with these simple words, "Joseph, son of David, you need to remember who you are." Is that you this morning? Do you need to remember who you are? Joseph is the son of David. There are two genealogies in the New Testament of Joseph. This one here in Matthew's Gospel appears to show the line of succession to the throne of David. And there's also one in Luke's Gospel which is similar in many ways, although most of the names are different, or many of the names are different, and it appears to show the physical genealogy of Joseph. So there's a difference. Matthew's Gospel here lists the kings. So you start off with David and Solomon and Rehoboam and Abijah and all these people who were the recognized names of the kings of Israel and later of Judah. And the succession continues right the way down in the genealogy until it reaches Joseph. And the point of Matthew's genealogy is this. Although Joseph is a carpenter in Nazareth, technically, he is the heir to David's throne. It's a staggering thing for this humble man of ordinary circumstance. He's the heir to David's throne. So we're going to look at it at this and think about it from the point of view of these four letters, the letters of the word heir. We're going to think about Joseph as a man who is honoured, by the angel, a man in whom expectation is vested, a man who is important, and a man who is royal. These four things. Things that Joseph needs to remember. And if we think it's of purely historical interest, then Christians also need to remember who they are. It's a great thing indeed to be the heir of the throne of David, and that's a truly outstanding position to occupy, a unique position in Joseph's case. But to be a Christian is to have an even more staggering privilege. Paul writes about it in this way in Romans 8. If we are children, children of God, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So if Joseph needs to remember who he is, Christians, we too need to remember who we are. Sometimes we lose sight of it. And God, I believe, through this message today, is calling me and you back to remember our own privileges as we studied Joseph. So first of all, Joseph was honoured by the angel. The angel comes to him and says, Joseph, son of David. Angels tend to do that. They tend to come and appear to people in the Bible stories and speak in a way that really honours them. So when Gabriel appears to Mary in the story of the birth of Jesus, he says to her, greetings, you who are highly favoured. And you could think of many other people to whom angelic visions are given and how the angel addresses them. Gideon, the mighty warrior, or Daniel, the greatly beloved man, and many other examples like that. So here the angel is honouring Joseph by associating him with one of the truly great figures of world history and of Israel's history. And the angel is saying to Joseph, Joseph, David is your father. Don't forget that. David is your father. Now the angels must scratch their heads about us human beings sometimes and try in vain to understand us. Because angels know who they are. They stand in the presence of God, created ministering spirits. They stand in the presence of God, and minute by minute they are totally aware of their privilege, their responsibility, and their position. We, on the other hand, as human beings, we stand on earth. And on the earth, we often forget who we are. We let our circumstances grind us down. A great deal has been said this year in things I've seen in the press and locally as well about how Christmas is a hard time for many people. It's a grind. It highlights their loneliness, their loss, and their lack. In the high school on Thursday and Friday morning, Timmy Curry, the church's youth worker, spoke about that with the young people and the staff in the Christmas service. Very powerfully. And sometimes because of our circumstances, we forget who we are. We stand in the earth and we lose sight of our privileges, we lose sight of our dignity. We let circumstances grind us down. And sometimes we let philosophies grind us down too. We become party to the kind of presentation that man is just an animal, just some more highly evolved creature of the dust and the dirt. Maybe Joseph's like that in his situation. He's lost sight of who he is, and the angel needs to remind him of his honour. And God would remind us of our honour today as well. In Isaiah chapter 43, God speaks to his people. In this way, he says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. And so the angel comes to Joseph and reminds him that he is honored in God's sight. He's the son of David. But God wants to speak to you and me too. This morning, remind us of our honor. What an honor it is to be alive. What an honor it is to be in God's world. To be a human being. Someone dignified with the image of God. We need to keep that in view. Our privilege, our honor as human beings. But that's just the beginning of what the angel is saying to Joseph. The second thing is, the angel is telling him he's an expected man. He's expected. Because the title, Son of David, points to the prophecies of the Old Testament about the Messiah who's coming. And there are lots of prophecies in the Old Testament that speak about the Messiah as coming in David's line. We just sang one a minute ago in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born. Who's this child? Well, he will reign on David's throne, Isaiah says. Here's a few more. Ezekiel 34 focuses on the Messiah as a shepherd king. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. And it goes on to say, my servant David will be a prince among them. Jeremiah 23, I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely. And Hosea chapter 3, recognizes that for many centuries the line of the kings of David will be utterly obscure because of their defeat by the Babylonians and the Persians and so on, right down to the Romans. The Israelites will live for many days without king or prince, Hosea says. But afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David, their king. And so it is that, come down to Jesus' day, that the title Son of David is one of the titles that everyone recognizes belongs to the expected Messiah. And so, when people see Jesus and his ministry and the miracles he's doing and the teaching he's giving, many of them put two and two together and say, here is the Messiah, the Son of David. And so it's quite striking how often Jesus is called the Son of David. In Matthew's Gospel, for example, chapter 12, the crowds are asking, could this be the Son of David? Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, in chapter 20, have mercy on me, Son of David. The Canaanite woman, in chapter 15, Son of David. Palm Sunday, as Jesus comes into Jerusalem, Hosanna to the Son of David, and so on. And so for Joseph, this is his way of thinking of Messiah. The Messiah is the Son of David. And David, of course, is looked on with great nostalgia as the archetypal military conqueror, king, a man of great leadership and great military authority, and who extended the kingdom of Israel greatly. And when the Romans are now the occupying force in Israel, they really long for another son of David, like David, who will humiliate the Romans as the Romans currently humiliate them. So when the angel says to Joseph, Son of David, he's saying, in you, Joseph, Israel's expectation is being fulfilled. The prophecies are being fulfilled in you. Now again, we might think that's just interesting. Nice for David. But Christians are the fulfillment of prophecy. Especially ourselves up in this part of the world. Because there are lots of prophecies in the Bible about the Gentiles coming to the Lord, coming to recognize Israel's God as the God of the world, and the Savior Israel's God provides as their Savior. Jesus spoke about other sheep that he must gather. We are the other sheep if we follow Jesus. About the salvation of God going to the ends of the earth. Well, we're at the ends of the earth from Israel's point of view. Or to the islands. Isaiah speaks of the islands often. We are the islands that the good news of the gospel has reached. It speaks of Jesus seeing of the travail of his soul and being satisfied in the people that benefit from it. We are that. Those who are unborn who will magnify the Lord. We are such people. The fruit that the earth shall yield. We are that fruit. And it goes on and on. And just as with Joseph, the angel is saying, God's got great things for you. You're the expected one. God's got great things for Christians too. We are the expected people. We're the people who are expected to benefit from Jesus and his salvation. And so we need to sit up and recognize our destiny and our privilege. Remember who we are. And if this morning you haven't yet made a commitment to Jesus, well, remember, it was something Joseph had to decide to do. He could have woken up from that dream and said, that was interesting, but I'm still going to divorce Mary and I'm still going to go my own way. But he didn't. He had to walk into his destiny, and so do you. You have to receive Jesus Christ for yourself. Otherwise, he's not your Savior. He's not your Lord. You can't become a Christian by sitting on the fence, and you're not a Christian by default. It's something you take, like Joseph had to. He had to go and marry Mary and take her home to be his wife and walk into the destiny he had. You need to walk into the destiny God has for you in Jesus. So, come on, Joseph, walk into your destiny. Come on, folks, you've got to walk into yours and I've got to walk into mine too. We are the expected people. The people that are expected to come to know Jesus through his work, right to the ends of the earth. The third thing is, the angel is saying Joseph is important. He's important. Doesn't feel like that. There are a couple of places in the Old Testament that describe how low David's line will go. In Isaiah 11, it will be like a stump of a tree that's been chopped down. That's what it's like in Joseph's day. In Amos chapter 9, it will be like a tent that's collapsed. But the angel is coming to Joseph and saying, you know that stump? Well, you are that. But now is the time for you to begin to flourish again. Like Isaiah said, from that stump, a branch will bear fruit. Now you are that broken down tent, Joseph. But now is the time for the tent to be rebuilt, as Amos said it would be. Remember who you are. Don't let the broken downness, don't let the deadness define you. It's easy to be defined by the way our upbringing was, or by the way people speak of us. That happened in the Gospels about Jesus. They asked, and you can read this in Matthew chapter 13, John chapter 7 and 8. People asked, how can Jesus be the Messiah? Because his dad's a carpenter. We know his family. And Messiah's from Bethlehem, and he's not. He's from Nazareth in Galilee. And he's illegitimate. You know, he's not Joseph's son. And they used to say even worse things like, he's a Samaritan. He's not even a Jew. Or, he's demon-possessed. You get all of that said of Jesus. Wonder what sort of things are said about you. What do you say about yourself? The angel is coming to Joseph and saying, Joseph, don't listen to that stuff. Remember who you are. Now, we believe Joseph knew his genealogy. I think many Jewish people knew their genealogy back centuries and centuries. We know that because in Luke's Gospel, when the census is called, Joseph knows to go back to Bethlehem because he is of the house and line of David. That's what Luke records. Joseph knew that. He knew who he was. But as a carpenter, Nazareth, with what appeared to be a wife with an illegitimate son, he thought, how could things get any lower? And the angel's coming and saying, Joseph, that's not how you're defined. You're defined as the son of David. Remember your importance. What's important about you today? Not necessarily your family. I don't suppose any of you are from particularly regal families. I don't know. Maybe I don't know you all, but I think of myself. I don't even know my family tree back. I think I go back, can go back about four generations perhaps. But my father was just an office worker. His father was a printer down in Somerset. And his father before him and his father before him down in Somerset, and going back far enough, they come back to Stirling, and then I haven't a clue. I don't know who they are or what they were. Maybe they're descended from Robert the Bruce. I don't know, but whatever. You can't really get your importance as a person from your family, usually. Sometimes you can, I suppose. But our importance comes from other sources. Human beings are made a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory and honor by God. Human beings are made in the image of the living God. And if you're a Christian, how do you begin your prayers? You begin them this way. You say, Father in heaven. Think of the importance that you have to be able to say, here I am, made a little lower than the angels. Just a little lower. I'm in the image of God, and God is my Father. To be able to call upon these important things, these are the things that define us. And we maybe need to remember them this Christmas, and not to dwell on the negative things that we label ourselves with, or others label us with. We are important. We need to remember it. And finally, Joseph needs to remember he is royalty. He's honored. He's expected. He's important. He's royalty because he's the heir. That's what the angel is saying. Joseph, do you realize this? You are the most important person in this land at this moment. Your family is the most important family in this land. You are headline news at this moment. We've had in the headlines the last couple of days the fact that Prince Philip went into hospital on Friday. Well, lots of people went into hospital on Friday, but none of them are in the papers. But Philip is. Why? Because he's royalty. There were lots of families had babies in about 4 BC, which happens to be about the date of Jesus' birth. Okay, don't ask me how Jesus can be born 4 BC, but it's just because they got the calendars wrong. But the fact is that this is the most important family and the most important birth because they're royalty. Joseph, the angel, is saying, you've tried to believe Mary's account of why she's expecting a baby. I know that, but it's true, Joseph. Verse 20, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. You have got to marry her, Joseph, and when you marry her, the child that she will have legally becomes your child. You become the legal father, and so you get the legal right to name him, verse 21. You're to give him the name Jesus. The last sentence in the chapter, He gave him the name Jesus. And because you will be the legal father, as the heir of David's throne, the royal title will pass through you to him. See, what the angel is saying is, well, what the angel said, Gabriel said to Mary, he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. He's the Son of God. But the angel Gabriel also said to Mary, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Yes, Joseph, he's God's son by the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't make him the son of David, and it doesn't make him the legitimate heir to the throne of Israel. It's because you will marry Mary that he'll become the son of David. You've got to do this, Joseph. Otherwise, he fails to be the Messiah. You have got to marry Mary so that he can be the promised son of David. Because he's not the son of David by being conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. He's the son of David by you being the legal father of him. And so, you see Joseph's importance. What honor, expectation, importance, royalty belongs to this humble carpenter. And what a change in his thinking the dream brings. He doesn't maybe learn all that much through the dream, but he learns things are true that he was struggling to believe. He wanted to believe them, but he was afraid to, as verse 20 says. He was afraid to take Mary home as his wife. But now, he does so. And in doing so, Jesus can be born the Son of David, the true Messiah. Is there anything you need to believe today that you're afraid to believe? Are you afraid to believe that God could make you his son or his daughter? Well, you need to believe it and not be afraid. You need to take hold of it through Jesus Christ. Now, Joseph doesn't realize it, but the things that he has been called to believe now by the angel and act upon are things that you and I are also being called to believe in. He doesn't know that what he's having to trust, that this child is the Son of God, the Messiah, we also have to trust. That countless millions of people are going to follow in Joseph's footsteps and trust what he trusts and believe what he believes. But there are countless millions of others who'll be afraid to. And because they're afraid to, they will never ever enter into their royal inheritance and privilege. What's your choice this afternoon? Paul writes about Jesus in this way in 2 Timothy 2. He says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. The gospel that's been preached all over the world. And our choice, like Joseph's, is to believe. Or otherwise, to fall short and never be an heir. And all the honour, expectation, importance and royalty that could have been ours, never will be unless we believe and receive and act upon what God is calling us to through Jesus Christ. Joseph got up and married Mary and took on the responsibility that God had called him to. Have you done that? Do you need to remember who you are and not let life grind you down? You need to remember what God is calling you to. Your privilege and dignity as a human being in the image of God. And God is calling you to be an heir of salvation through Jesus Christ. To be one of his royal sons. To live forever with him. Do you need to remember that? And live it out as your destiny. That's what God's calling us to through this Christmas message today. Amen.